It's Wednesday, November 2nd. This is Geek Nights with Rim and Sky. Mostly Sky. Let's do this.
Let's do this.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I got to the train station this morning. I looked at my cell phone, and it said one voicemail. My cell phone really sucks at telling me when there's voicemail. It doesn't make noise or anything.
Ah, I've told my phone to make a noise, and it makes a noise.
I tried. Then I immediately looked to see how I could tell my phone to make a noise. I couldn't find how to tell it to make a noise in a voicemail. I don't think it can. So the voicemail's my dad, so I check it, and he says, call me, which is real informative.
Yeah, I hate it when people do that, because that always means either something bad happened and they didn't want to tell you in voicemail, or they're just stupid and they're not informative enough in their voicemails.
It's the second one. Anyway, so I go and I try to call him, and he doesn't turn his cell phone on or keep it on his person.
Great.
So I got immediately dumped to his voicemail.
Did you leave a call me message?
No.
You should have.
No. So eventually later in the day, he picked up the phone, right? And he's like, oh, you call me now. And I'm like, well, I was supposed to know that it was a timely call. What the hell? He's like, apparently, he got locked out of the house. And I have a key to his house, and he would have wanted me to come open it. Now, just the other day.
Yeah, I do distinctly recall.
Now, it made me realize that I would have had to go and open the house, because I expect them to come open this house if by some terrible accident we lock ourselves out.
Because I did notice that the other day we were talking about just this.
Yeah.
And I said, what would you do if you locked yourself out? And you said, I'd just call my daddy and he'd come and open the door.
Yep. But now I guess I have to do the same thing the other way.
Yeah, it's great that I don't have to deal with
it. I should have said I didn't have a key to his house.
But
even though
you?
I do. Yeah, I do.
But he probably knows you have it.
Well, he wasn't 100% sure. That's why he asked me if I had one. But I wasn't going to lie. I don't lie.
Yeah? So if you had accidentally answered your phone, you would have been stuck driving to Connecticut instead of going to work.
No, it would have been last night. Voicemail was last night. I just didn't see it till this morning because the phone sucks.
How did he lock himself out? What was your mom or your sister?
My mom is in the stupid basket tour thing. Or maybe she got back already. I don't know. I don't know the story with that.
Your mom in those baskets.
But her birthday's next week, so I have to like go there. I'll just take the train there after work.
And all right.
Whatever.
Yeah, nothing interesting happened to me today.
Awesome.
Yeah, I sat at work. I didn't do a lot of work, and then I came home.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I did work,
but it was a lot of, like, install a thing on a server. So I'd do the install, do all the configs, and then I wait for, like, 20 minutes while it does
what it's got to do. My Firefox crashed.
So, anyway, there's actually a lot of fairly interesting big news today.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Really?
Oh, really.
Oh, really.
Yeah, really. So, apparently the CIA is running gulags in Eastern Europe.
We knew that.
Yeah, but now the government knows that.
Or at least I'm now sure the Amnesty International knows it.
Now the government admits that it knows it.
Well, if you admit you're doing bad, doesn't that also kind of also mean we're going to stop doing it?
I don't think so. That's not what I was led to believe by these articles about it.
You can't say you're doing something you know is bad.
Not only do they know they're bad,
and not stop doing it.
They refer to them as, quote, black sites. Because that's not an evil name at all. They don't call them anything like the puppy factory.
What if I'm a company, and all of a sudden I come out and I say, yeah, we've got these death camps. And then they say, oh, I guess you've come out and you're going to stop death camping. No, actually, we're going to keep them going.
Oh,
you
even
can't
better.
Do that.
Even better. The Washington Post knows where all these camps are located. They have chosen not to reveal this information to the public at the request of a senior U.S. official because the disclosure might, quote, disrupt counterterrorism efforts in those countries and elsewhere.
Well, we just know now not to read the Washington Post because they're a bunch of pussies.
Yeah, yeah. Though, from all the rumor mongering, it seems like most of them are in former Soviet territories, and they're actually former gulags. Like, really? Old abandoned prisons and stuff.
How can you do something bad? Usually you admit it, and then you stop. They keep doing it!
Because they didn't really admit it. It's other people found out, and they don't know what to do about that.
You close them, and you, at the minimum...
You can't close them. Because
at the minimum, you say you closed them and you keep them open. Come on, you gotta at least look you're trying.
Because if they say they closed them, that's admitting that they had them.
They already admitted they had them. We're beyond that.
Not really. They just said don't talk about it, and they're
fine. Then you know what you do? You say they don't exist and you move them.
Yeah, see, the thing is, the CIA will not acknowledge the details of its system. And
but they acknowledge the existence of the system.
Not really. It's complicated, and no one's really. Everyone's kind of just going.
But if they didn't acknowledge the existence of the system, how do we know it's not just some bullshit made up by the newspaper?
I don't know.
Oh, that's great.
Apparently, they were. Well, they must have admitted it, because apparently they were conceived in the couple months after September 11th.
Well, fine. If they admitted it, then everything I said before.
Yeah, but they're they're claiming that they aren't illegal and that they're part of the war on terror and that they need them.
I'm killing this guy. It's all right. It's part of the war on terror. I thought he was a terrorist.
Britain got away with that.
Dude, the police will come here one morning and be like, "You killed your roommate." I'll be like, "He was a terrorist."
That might work.
It's kind of scary, yeah.
Yeah. The fact that I'm more afraid of being shot or harassed by my own police department or my own government than I am of actual terrorists with
bombs.
And
it's not even that I'm afraid that they'll get me because I do something terrorist-like.
No, it's just, I'm afraid they'll just get me. I'll be walking
down
the street.
I'm afraid that they'll just, you know, think I'm a terrorist randomly, just by accident or whatever. Yeah. I know I'm not doing anything terrorist, for real.
Yeah. Though not everything bad is happening in the U.S. this time. There's riots in multiple countries that most people don't know about.
I can't believe we didn't know that there were riots in Paris.
For like a week.
And no one told me.
Hundreds of cars burned.
I read Google News.
Yeah, Google News had a blurb at the bottom.
I didn't even see it.
Because I have a European Union Google News section, and this came up at like the bottom.
Section.
And menacing youths have been rioting in the poor areas of Paris.
See, I wonder how big this riot is if it didn't get to the top of newses.
In one night, over 180 vehicles were torched. A bunch of arrests, riot police. The city is generally in a state of panic, at least the outer, poor boroughs of the city.
Wow, it's the Rodney King of Paris.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a bunch of deaths, but nothing, no huge massacre or anything yet.
Yet?
Well, it's still going on, and no one knows how to deal with it. Some of the right-wingers in the government are calling for various military groups to just kind of storm through the suburbs and subdue anyone on the street.
This is what you get for being racist.
Yeah.
And what's the other word? Xenophobia?
Xenophobia?
Yeah.
Something like that, a little xenophobia?
We are the xenophobe.
I mean, France has the largest Muslim population of any Western nation, yet they seem to be one of the most racist about Muslims.
Well, you know, Germany, they had a ton of Jews there. and they didn't like them because the Jews are doing good.
Bam! Goodwin. Okay.
All right.
So where else was there rioting?
Ethiopia.
Ah, Ethiopia, that wonderful paragon of civilization.
Ethiopia is pretty good compared to some other African countries, Rwanda.
Ethiopia was very nice until various things screwed it up.
It's still okay. It's okay. But what happened was they had an election. And this guy won. The guy who was favored by Bush and such. And favored by Blair. And so all the people were like, it was rigged. It was rigged. Right?
Was it rigged?
We don't know. Probably.
Oh, great.
But anyway, what did the people do? Unlike fat-ass Americans who sit around when it's obviously rigged and do nothing, they rioted. And they're still rioting. And I think whether it was rigged or not, the guy who's in charge, who won the election, he put the opposition party in jail.
Oh, see, up until you said that, I was thinking, all right, so the people are rioting, but it might not be rigged. They might just not just be overreacting, but damn.
Yeah.
Imagine if after the 2004 election, Bush had just been like, all right, Kerry Dean, jail.
Yeah.
Way to kill the momentum by getting a call on your cell phone and making me pause it.
Yeah.
You know, you could have just ignored the cell phone.
I don't want to.
But, why? We were doing something.
The cell phone's more important than doing something. Because
you didn't know who was calling.
Yeah, I did.
How could you have known?
Because my mom just called, and then she called again.
How about when your mom called and you cut off the podcast? They don't need to know that there were two phone calls in the interim.
Well, now they do. So now there won't be any deception by you.
Uh-huh.
As to the number of phone calls there were.
Because I could really benefit from falsifying such wonderful and useful information.
You do all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ethiopia.
Wonderful.
Though there was some cool news. Apparently Denver, Colorado legalized marijuana.
Did they actually pass a law that says
yes.
so?
Passed a measure that makes it legal for residents over the age of 21 to possess up to an ounce of marijuana.
To possess?
Yeah.
What about to sell?
They can sell less than an ounce. So they can still get dealers, but they can't get people who just have some marijuana.
Hmm.
And state of Oregon...
Isn't
not the
if they doesn't someone just have to say, hey, your town law can't conflict with state law?
No, because it can conflict. All this means is that now it's only a violation of state and federal law. So Denver told the state police that, yeah, if the state police of Colorado want to enforce their stupid drug laws, they're going to have to send state troopers down here and do it themselves. Because our cops aren't going to.
But isn't it also, but I mean, if you're going to do it that way, right? If you look at a state like Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
The town of Trumbull that I lived in doesn't have a law that says murder is illegal.
Mm.
The state has a law that says murder is illegal. All the murder crap, right?
Yeah.
So if you murder someone in Connecticut...
It's a violation of state law.
It is indeed a violation of state law and state
now,
law only.
Generally,
but the town cops arrest you because you broke a state law. They don't have to send state troopers to get you.
The town cops don't have to, though, and they won't now.
Oh, they don't have to?
And they won't. No, they don't.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
Ah, I did not know this. I thought that pretty much, you know, it's like federalism. Federal law, state law, town law. All above laws apply below.
Yeah, but apparently the town is going to say, screw you. We did something
but
that
I mean,
think is right.
The town of Beacon doesn't have a no marijuana law.
Yeah, what if it did?
Well, if it did, you'd go to jail for breaking town law and breaking state law and then whatever. But
yeah, no, they passed a law of saying specifically it is not illegal. And specifically
the
police will
not
go after it.
But then doesn't that conflict with the state law?
Yes.
And this isn't the law illegal?
No. It's stupid. Basically,
if your law in a town conflicts with the state law.
The point is, it's a political move. Because they believe that marijuana shouldn't be illegal.
Oh, that's a political move is fine, but the law is going to be thrown out real soon.
Maybe, maybe not.
What do you mean maybe not? If a state makes a law that directly conflicts with the federal law, it just goes away.
Not always. It has to get to a federal court first.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, this will go to a state court. Who do you think's going to win in the state court for when the state involved, it's their court?
Well, the state hasn't said they're going to do anything at all.
Well, if the state lets it fly, then that basically invalidates the state law.
I mean, the most
because it's not the state law is not enforced.
The state can do because you can't. It's not against the law to not enforce the law.
No, that's correct.
So the only thing the state can do is send state troopers in to go after people with an ounce of marijuana and get them, and that's fine. But the local cops in Denver don't have to do jack anymore, and they won't.
That's fine. Yeah.
So it's never going to hit the courts because there's no chance for it to hit the courts. It's not illegal for the local cops to not enforce a law that isn't on their books.
But yeah, but some guy can just go file some papers in court, and then there'll be a thing about it.
You can't file in court unless there has been a damage to you.
Well, you can file suit against the state can try to sue the town.
For what? There has to be a damage, and they have to prove
for damaging the state's laws.
That's tricky. You have to prove tort, and it's not that easy to do.
People
most
do this
likely,
kind of crap all the time.
Yeah, and they usually get thrown out immediately. If you don't have tort, you can't even sue. They just throw
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, but you know what? There are lawyers who know what they're talking about who are smarter than us that are working on it right now.
Yeah, and you know what? The town's probably going to win because no one cares.
Yeah, but I mean, if the state doesn't enforce it, you can argue in court. They didn't enforce the law. It might as well not exist.
Yeah, that might be their goal. We don't know.
I like that kind of thing, but... I really don't think we should start a trend of town laws overriding state laws, because, you know, next we'll have Nazi town.
You know what? That's fine, because I'll just move out of Nazi town, and the Nazi people can live in their crappy little Nazi town.
Yeah.
Federalism.
Godwin, too.
We're on a roll.
I'm going for Godwin, like, 5 today.
All right. Godwin this one. So, the Microsoft Live debut.
Windows wouldn't exist if IBM didn't make computers and sell them to Nazis.
IBM didn't make computers to sell to Nazis.
They did way back in the day.
There weren't computers.
Yeah, there were.
There were like Enigma and the
There were machines of international business. they were computers.
Yeah.
They were just really crappy and they were really big. But anyway.
So this is real reminiscent of the other famous Microsoft demo that failed in front of millions of people.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, this one actually, while it's hilarious that it failed, and Microsoft was very crappo in its failing, it failed because the internet connection they were using died. And also, everyone who was there watching, their wireless died. So it obviously wasn't...
Though, two of the reporters who were there say that they think the demo died, and then Microsoft made the wireless die so they couldn't blog about it right away.
The only two things that could be true that I could think of are, number one, Microsoft actually just lost the connection, and those reporters are all Linuxy and awesome.
Maybe.
Or they're right, which means, ha-ha, Linuxy and awesome.
Either way, no one's going to remember why it failed. They're just going to remember that it failed.
Yeah, they're also going to remember, I read one guy who actually used, I think that's the article, the one you're looking at. One of those guys was talking about actual Microsoft Live and not about the fact that it went down. And he's like, yeah, it's cool after you customize it a whole bunch. It's not immediately useful. And it basically, compared to Google's stuffs that is equivalent, it's poop.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. They finally come through on the, oh, we're going to make it a web service instead of an application, and it sucks.
All right, Nostradamus.
I thought it was going to be good if they actually did it.
Nah, I pretty much assumed it wouldn't be.
Because I thought it would be just like an application only on the web, but no.
People have been trying to do that forever.
And they've done it successfully.
Not for office suites that are
There's a word processor, and there's a spreadsheet, and they're both really good.
Yeah, they're not as good from a business perspective. And by business, I mean what people in businesses use word processors and spreadsheets for.
If you slightly modified these things, they would be. You just had to make it so it, you just had to, you know, customize a little bit for your business.
Yeah, but keep in mind, a lot of businesses use office suites in stupid ways.
Oh, we're going to use a spreadsheet to do something we should use Microsoft Access for, but Microsoft Access sucks, you should never use it. They're basically using Excel for something they're supposed to be using MySQL for.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I need to make a poster. I'm going to use Microsoft Word instead of, I guess, the modern equivalent of Publisher.
Yeah. So, my thing of the day isn't so much. It's really just a Wikipedia article, but I thought it was cool, and it amused me greatly at work.
Wikipedia.
It is a list of unusual deaths, and it is just people who have died in unusual, funny, or interesting ways throughout history.
How unusual could it be? I can't imagine a death that's so strange.
All right, this one may not be true, but according to...
May not be true, then what's the point?
Because accordingly, in 207 BC...
If it's 207 BC, what the hell?
Chrysippus, some Greek philosopher, died of laughter after seeing a donkey eating figs.
That's
all right,
just
here,
not...
I'll move to ones that are definitely verified. King Bela I of Hungary died when his tall wooden throne collapsed because it was sabotaged by an assassin.
He was in a high chair, and a guy cut the legs out.
Yeah. Oh, another one with figs. Matthew Corvinus, a king of Hungary, died after eating a poisoned fig.
I think someone sabotaged this page with fig stories.
I have a theory.
Hypothesis, if you will. It's a hypothesis.
Here's a good one. This conquistador was killed by having molten gold poured down his throat.
He probably wanted it to happen that way. He was probably like, pour the gold down my throat, then I can eat the hottest peppers.
Tycho Brahe died of a bladder infection after refusing to leave for the bathroom during a banquet for the sake of good manners. Oh, no. It says that they figured out later that, no, he just died of mercury poisoning. Never mind.
But he's still alive. He makes comics, and they're funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a funny list, and I could just sit here and read them all day, so I'm going to
Let's not do that. So my funny thing of awesome of the day was Case Western is a video floating around the net of a chemistry lecture.
All right.
I think it was a Halloween chemistry lecture, but I don't think that matters. And basically, this teacher up front showing something about chemical equilibrium, some reaction, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I don't know which ghost it is, Pinky, Blinky?
Winky,
Pac-Man, Pac-Man ghost is about to be eaten.
The blue one.
They're all blue when they're about to be eaten. So, yeah. An about to be eaten one of unknown name comes in and tells the teacher, he's coming. He's coming to get me. Oh, my God. You know? He ate the big pill. What am I going to do? Right? And the teacher's just like, haha, leave. You're funny with your Pac-Man ghost. All right, get out of here.
Yeah.
And then Pac-Man comes. And I was like, oh, my God, it's Pac-Man. And then Pac-Man chases him around a bit and then chases him out of the room. And everyone there was very entertained.
Man, I miss college, and I miss hijinks like that.
I miss that type of college hijinks.
Nothing like that happens at work. There's no way I'd be sitting at work and someone dressed like Pac-Man would run through the conference
room. It's a pretty good Pac-Man costume, too. Nice and solid. Good shape. Better than some of the ones I saw at Otakon. Well, even some of those were good, though.
I saw one really good one at Otakon because it was going up the escalator. It looked like it was eating people.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah. This is a lot like that one, but it's not the round ones I don't like. The round ones are too... Anyway.
Yep. It's anime day.
Anime, manga, and comics.
Yeah.
Arts,
all that stuff.
Web comics. All those sorts of things.
Yep. Though we did watch episode 1 and 2 of a newish anime.
It's very new.
Yeah, it's very good, too.
Mushishi?
Mushishi. It's about these little things called mushi.
Well, they're not all little.
Well, some are big. At first, I thought they were all little. They look like little, like, protists or little bacteria.
But, you know, the big ones where it seemed to be a bunch of little ones combined. But
yeah.
Other times, not. It's sort of an ambiguous spiritual thing.
It's neat because the show starts and there's what looks like a main character and this, like, peripheral character who comes in. And then through the episode, you realize at the end that the peripheral guy who came in is the main character, and the guy you thought was the main character is just this one episode throwaway side plot.
Yep. But I like. It seems like every episode is a one episode plot, which is good because the order doesn't matter so much. But I'm sure that over time, that more about the Mushishi guy with one eye is revealed, in episode 2.
And his Mushishi pin.
It was Mushi pin.
Mushi pin.
Because the creatures are Mushis.
Yes, and he is a Mushishi because he chases Mushi.
But it's not like Pokemon, which is. You know, it's cool because it's like creatures, but not Pokemon.
Though he has at least one of these Mushi that is his own personal.
I'm sure he has more, and he uses their powers, but whatever.
It's a good show, and it's worth watching.
Yeah, it's not an A++++ show, but it's the best show this season so far.
Yeah, if you like Shadow Star, Narutaru.
It's similar to that, but that had a little more fighting Pokemon leanings.
Yeah, but
it's
the
like
same
it's
kind
like Pokemon plus Mushishi equals
it is
Shadow
in the genre
Star.
Of strange and cool unexplained creatures in an episodic kind of deal.
It's more in the genre of, you know, nice happy little spiritual story kind of things.
Yeah, it wasn't all happy though. Luckily, there were some happy endings in the early parts.
Well, okay, they're not perfectly happy endings, which is good, though, because perfectly happy endings make for bad
drek. Like in the first episode, you see all these Mushi, and you're like, oh, the Mushi are cool and cute and whatever, and they're happy. Then the second one, there's the bad Mushi.
Yeah, it's like not all Mushis are good or bad, they're just Mushi. They're just these creature things.
I like the way they look. They're really funny looking.
Some of them are cute and happy. I like the ones that are all, like, translucent protozoas thingies, and they fly around.
And I'm very glad that, unlike Cluster Edge, nobody got the gay on them. There was no,
no unexpected random gay.
God, I still can't get over that scene in freaking Cluster Edge.
Yeah, we don't want anyone listening to this to think that we're homophobes or anything.
No, we're not. In fact, considering that we have a tradition in our group known as the Yaoi Couch.
Yeah, but we can't take it when there's even an allusion to a Yaoi in something we're actually watching.
Mainly because we have a friend who, we were over hanging out at her house one day. And we discovered her Yaoi dungeon.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we were talking about making molds of penises randomly.
Don't ask why we were talking about that. You don't want to know.
But all of a sudden,
she had a relevant Yaoi manga.
Sephiroth
was,
making a mold of his penis and then impregnating himself with it.
And this one manga came out of a sea of manga under her bed. And it was cool and creepy at the same time.
All of which were Yaoi.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. All right, Mushishi to Yaoi.
So how do we get from Yaoi to something else?
Well, let's talk about something that we really don't mind Yaoi mixing with. Didn't you watch...
Gankotsuo!
It's not so Yaoi.
No, it's not. Shamanic Princess!
Yeah, you can talk about Shamanic Princess. We can get Yaoi on that all we want.
Yeah, there's no Yaoi in it, though.
No?
It's old. It's real old.
But it still looks kind of like...
It was animated really well for when it was made, and it's really
pretty.
Was
it made in the 90s?
Yeah, early 90s.
Early
90s? Like early mid-90s. This is old stuff.
Are you sure to check the year on? It looks like a 96 or a 97 to me.
Yeah, early mid-90s. It's pretty
old. We'll have
old.
To go check the year.
I saw it a long, long time ago.
All right.
And I watched it again, because I hadn't seen it in a while. And when I'd first seen it, it was a show that I had seen, one of my early anime that I'd seen. So it was kind of, I saw it through the eyes of someone who thinks all anime is perfect and awesome, and I loved it all. And I watched it again, and I still really like the show. But it's definitely not a anime.
Yeah, I remember when I was getting into anime and like anything was great. Now, yep. Not so much.
Though I gotta say, if you like pretty shows, Shamanic Princess is definitely worth watching. It is definitely a pretty people standing on top of tall, spiry buildings, saying poetic things, and then fighting with each other with magical things.
So it's X?
Yeah, it's a lot like X. It's that style of show.
It's 1996, I'm the win.
Mid-90s.
Whatever. If I would have said 99, you'd have been like mid-90s. It's between 90 and 2000.
Nah.
It's in the mid.
Yeah, 96. I was a freshman in high school. That links up, actually, from when I saw it.
All right. Well, I guess that's good. You saw one that was brand new, then.
I saw one that was fairly new.
Hey.
I saw a crappy fan sub of it, in fact.
Mm.
And I got to say, the dub is the worst dub ever.
Worse than the Utena dub?
Worse than the Utena dub.
That can't be.
I should play some clips from it.
I think
oh
it's just you
God.
Haven't seen terrible dubs in a while.
Oh my God. just for one example, there's this cute little fairy thing named Japalo, and he has a funny, like, normal voice. And in the American dub, instead of having, like, a funny little guy kind of voice, it has, like, the voice of an old carny. And everyone speaks in such a stilted way.
An old carny?
Like a carny from a carnival, only she was old and she was a gypsy.
She?
Or he, I couldn't tell.
So we did get the yaoi all over this.
Yeah, because the ferret was getting it on with, yeah.
Oh my God. That's
if anything, it was probably more of a Yuri show, because it's all the main characters are girls, and they all seem to like each other a lot in a very non-Yuri way.
Mmm.
This was before Yaoi and Yuri became mainstream like they are now.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be watching this show. Let's
it's
send it back
show.
To Netflix.
Yeah.
So, I went to the comic book store today.
And I see you picked up Rakuto.
I got Rakuto.
I see you picked up a Death Note.
You know this Death Note? When I went there to get Death Note Volume 1, the day it came out,
yeah.
There wasn't any... there was a little manga rack. Because there's a big wall full of comic books and a little rack of new manga. Then they have a wall of the old manga, but they have a rack of new manga.
Uh-huh.
There were no Death Notes on the rack of new manga when I went to get Volume 1 when it came out. And I asked, and they said, oh, I guess we're sold out. Today I went, and I go to the rack, and Death Note Volume 2, not on the rack. And I'm like, damn it, I don't want to come here like next week again, because I had to go the next week to get Volume 1. It was so, Oh, no, I went to the other branch of the store to get Volume 1.
You could just buy every Death Note a week off from when it comes out.
Yeah, but it's still a pain.
It's not like you haven't already read it all.
Haven't read it all. The plane took off, and I don't know what happens next.
You know what happens in the only part of the plot that I really care about.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, so I asked the guy. I was like, all right. This guy was running around the store like a nut. I think they were short on employees because one guy I always see there wasn't there, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, got Death Note? So he looks on the rack. It's not on the rack. The rack actually was really empty. So he goes, and he's like, where's the overstock? I got the last one in the overstock.
Awesome.
Then he took the overstock, and he started filling up the manga shelf again. I was like, yes. And Death Note is awesome.
Yeah.
And I read it again. It's still awesome.
If you haven't read Death Note, read it. Oh, my God.
There are two volumes out now. Buy them all. Oh, my God.
Because I must say, Ryuku is probably the best character in any manga ever, with the possible exception of Major Kusanagi herself.
He's cool. I think he's the coolest.
He's the only person I've ever seen in any manga who got both upside downy and inside outy at the same time.
For not eating apples?
Something like
Oh, oh my God. When you read it again, there's great stuff in here. Like, when he makes the prisoners who commit suicide write notes before they die.
Yeah.
And he reads down the left-hand columns. L looks at the notes and he reads down the left-hand columns, like the first letters and the first words of each sentence.
Yeah.
And it says, like, L, do you know?
It said that in Japanese, too.
Yeah, and the next one says... Gods of Death, and yeah. The last one says, eat apples, or like apples.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that kind of stuff either, because it reminded me of when you were talking. You were like, remember when L was all freaking about the gods of death? That's why he was freaking out about the gods of death, because he talked about it in the stupid notes.
Maybe.
That was it. Because no. Before then, L didn't even know about gods
of
death.
Look at L's eyes. There's no way that there's not some connection between L and Shinigami.
But look, he's like, are you saying that, what do they call him?
Shinigami
exist? Question mark. That's when he started getting on it. And then after it, whenever he hears gods of death again, he's like, huh? Because it was written in those notes that Kira made him write down.
See, we'll see. Because look at his eyes. There's something there. I'll bet money.
Now, look, before he was talking about gods of death and he was all freaking out about it, and he didn't freak out.
I heard what you said. Yeah. I just disagree.
You didn't have the manga. I read it more recently than you.
Look at his eyes.
His eyes aren't like that until after he's read those notes from Kira.
No, his eyes are always that way.
His eyes aren't like that until... Oh, God, you're such a nut. You always try to look into it so much to the point
where you assume
looking in is right, and it's never right, ever.
Because it worked with Gundam Seed. I was right about almost everything except the one unpredictable
Gundam
plot
Seed
point.
Isn't like this. This is completely different. It does not logically follow that because you can predict one anime, you can predict every anime and manga there is.
Plus, I'm still waiting for one character in Death Note who left, and I figured they would come back, and they didn't, and I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
We can't really talk anymore because a lot of people haven't read this, and I don't want to spoil it because it's one of the best manga I've read in a long time.
It's, I'm sure there's tons and tons of manga that are really awesome we haven't read, but... I've read lots and lots of awesome mangas, at least all the English ones.
Yep.
And this one's really awesome.
Very good.
And it sells out, so it's not just me that thinks
it. They have raws of it at Walden Books, so...
Yeah, and they sell, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, they sell well enough to keep having them.
But something no one knows about.
Yeah.
Rakuto.
Rakuto!
Rakuto is so awesome. And no one knows about it. Well, a few people know about it. It might be the most popular indie comic right now.
Yeah, read Rakuto. It's printed sideways, so you'll see it and you'll know what
it
I'm
looks like
about.
A comic book, but it opens at the bottom instead of the side. Well, it's stapled at the top, so you flip it up, but you rotate the whole thing 90 degrees to read it.
So it's wide.
It's like a landscape.
Yeah.
Landscape comic book.
And it's awesome. It's got this cool style of drawing.
Well, it's like painting, kind of.
And the characters are very... awesome. There's not much I can say. You just gotta read it.
It's about this guy in like this other universe or world or whatever, and he's a navigator or mapper.
Yeah.
And he has like a compass in his hand, and the mappers are the only people who can know where they're going. And there's only different races, like cat people and dog people and lizard people.
Man, I still like that tiger guy from the first or second
tiger one. Guy was definitely awesome, but in this one, there's a new kind of guy in issue 3. It's very awesome.
Is that the guy you showed me a glimpse of?
It's the guy I showed you a glimpse of.
The guy I think is a bad guy?
He's not a bad guy.
He's got to be a bad guy.
Nope.
No one good looks that evil.
He's kind of good. He's pretty good.
Eh.
He's definitely not a villain. Anyway, the whole thing is made by Frank Espinosa. At least he does all the art, and I think he writes it, but there's a co-writer... Mary Taylor. And there's a logo designer. And let's see, there's presented, whatever. President, you didn't do anything. Creative director, Chris Stone. I guess he did something. But it's really weird for an American comic to have so few people working on it.
Huh.
Usually a manga, like even Death Note, which is crazy, is made by two people. The story and the art guy. That's unusual. A lot of times it's just one guy, story and art. You know? Like Akira, it's so huge, one guy.
Yep.
American comics, it's usually like writer, penciler, inker.
Tracer,
yeah. Actually, they're not really tracers, but it's like they separate all these things out because they have to produce it so fast.
Yep.
And it's so with the crazy colors and the high productions. They need a lot of people to do it the American way. But, to do it in black and white, I guess you don't need so many people. But
yeah, plus a lot of mangaka just kind of work at their own pace, and they come out whenever they finish them.
Yeah, they come out with very few pages, like, weekly, when in America they need to come out with, like 20 high-quality pages monthly, And it's not easy, because they have editors, telling them what to do.
Yeah.
The manga guys just do whatever they want, really.
Plus, the comics used to have the things like the comics code kind of crippling them.
Well, but that's gone now.
Yeah, luckily.
Except for Archie Comics and a few DC Comics. still do the comics code. No one else. No one cares anymore. Yeah, but Rocketo, it's like kind of a watercolor type of thing.
It reminds me a lot of like 50s type sci-fi. Only
kind
of
like
only
Samurai Jack with less colors and less hard edges. Kind of.
It's very soft and there aren't many hard edges at all.
Yeah, but it's very awesome.
It is. It is. If you're not going to read Death Note, at least read Rocketo.
If you just go to the comic book store near you or an online comic book store or something. I mean, even if you don't want to buy, how many comic books is it going to be? I don't know how many it's going to be.
Just buy the first one and read it. You'll get enough out of that to make it worth it.
Yeah. I actually like the first volume the best. Compared, huh? You know, even though volume 3 was real good and 2 was real good. It's all real good. I'm sure there'll be a trade paperback one day I'll buy and then give that to people. Yeah. Rocketo rules.
Yep.
No one knows about it except for really awesome people. But now everyone should know about it and read it.
And tomorrow, in our Netflix, comes the final DVD of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, which we had yet to see the end of.
I think the episodes that I hadn't seen yet were the ones that we just watched.
And I love that show.
It's a great show.
It's a real good show.
Compared to when you've been in such a drought of anime, it's good to have shows that were great that you didn't watch that you can fall back on.
Yep. If nothing good comes out in the next few months, we're going to have to watch, like, Nadeshiko, which neither one of us have seen.
Strangely.
Yeah, it's really weird. We've seen, like, every anime.
Except
I ran
for
a freaking anime club. You remember, like, the biggest anime club. We hung out. We spent whole weekends marathoning shows. Never saw Nadeshiko.
Nope. We saw everything else.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of old shows that are great that we didn't see. What else do you have in our queue? The Z Gundam?
Z Gundam.
Yep.
Last Exile isn't that old, but I always wanted to see
Lost
it.
Exile? Last Exile? Yeah. Who knows? I don't remember. But yeah, we should see that.
Yeah, Akino's Journey looks cool.
Eh, it looks like a little girly show.
Yeah, of course, Gankutsubo is coming out. I'm going to buy all the DVDs because I love that show.
Good. You only watch like a few episodes.
I watched the first 7 and I loved them all.
I think I watched like a little over half of the show and then stopped because I don't know what happened.
If you've read the book, the unabridged Penguin Classics Count of Monte Cristo, Gankutsubo is 1,000 times better to watch.
Yeah, things like that, but whatever. It's still a fun show.
It is.
It's not the greatest show, but it was the part that I got to is really cool, and then I stopped watching, I think because they stopped being available or it left RIT, I don't know.
Yeah, most of what makes the show great is that it's very pretty and it's very stylized.
Well, all the people that are important have those like magic clothes that they put on there.
Yep.
That's what happens when Gonzo spends a lot of money on a show.
Plus, shows like that are right up my alley. I mean, my favorite friggin' show is still Utena, which is the same kind of deal of stylized, pretty people. And
but
metaphors.
Utena was so cheap to make, and Gankutsubo was so expensive. It's completely different.
Yeah, imagine if Utena were made as high production value as Gankutsubo was.
It would be the same thing. It would just be better color in terms of like looking like 2000 and not like 91 when it was made.
Maybe the fights wouldn't just be like Utena and Toga standing there with like a silhouette of their swords going.
All right. Maybe that would change.
Yeah, there'd probably be more choo choo.
That would be good. Who could potentially be the only one Akio did not have sex with.
Yeah.
But we don't know that for sure. But that's the only one there's a chance. He's the only chance. All right. Are we done?
I got nothing.
Oh, we're going to keep our bit of telling a story?
Oh, we should tell a story. What story should we tell today?
Ron Jeremy?
All right, this is your story, so take it away, Scott.
So my mom... You turned your microphone off in the middle of the podcast.
I bumped it by accident. I turned it back on. Ooh.
You made the stupid click.
Ooh.
It's bad.
So tell the story about Ron Jeremy and how you're his illegitimate son.
I'm not his illegitimate son.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Okay.
We'll do a DNA test if you really want to. I mean, sorry, am I fat? Do I look like Mario to you? I mean, a penis might throw you off, but... But I can assure you, it's not the case. Anyway, so one day I'm sitting with my mom. We're watching, what was that movie? Boondock Saints? I think he was the bad guy. Yeah, it was Boondock Saints. He's in it. He's a bad guy who gets killed. And my mom's like, you see that guy? I'm like, what guy? And I'm like, the cop? The detective guy?
What, William Dafoe?
I thought it was Willem.
Dafoe.
Yeah. He was a really good actor, by the way. Even though he's got the gay. But whatever.
Come over here. I'll give you the gay.
Oh, no. Too much gay in today's podcast.
It's Cluster Edge's fault. I'm telling you.
Or it's...
You know what it is? We haven't had a Yaoi couch in a long time.
So anyway, my mom's like, no, the other guy. And I'm like, Ron Jeremy? And she's like, yeah. And she's like laughing. And I'm like, what about him? And she's like, I went out with him. And I'm like, what the hell?
Was he still fat back then?
I didn't get those details. But apparently, he went to Queens College. She went to Queens College. Right, I think Seinfeld also went to Queens College. I don't know if at the same time. But anyway, my mom was on vacation in Florida. He was on vacation in Florida. They were on the same beach. So she went out with him like twice. And then broke up with him because he was a sleazy guy. and he's still a sleazy guy. And that was that. But apparently my mom didn't even realize any of this until like her friend Judy knew that he became Ron Jeremy. Apparently his name was... William Hyatt, but that's what he... Oh, no, he says his name is Ron Hyatt and not Ron Jeremy.
Uh-huh.
But he says that's what his real name is, but my mom said that his name was, like, Ron something Jewish, like Gold something Ski, who knows. But I don't know. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, it was him. And...
Outstanding.
The funny part was that my mom told me the story, and then I told everyone I knew I got a story. And I didn't tell them what the story was. And then I came, and they were all in the same place at the same time. And I told the story to everyone at once. And it created a lot of suspense.
You did. I remember that. I remember being pissed because you kept saying, I got a story, but it's got to wait. It's got to wait. It's got to wait.
And it worked.
It did. You're lucky. You're damn lucky that story lived up to the expectation.
What kind of story you think I was going to tell?
We expected you to be like, nothing. Nothing happened. I'm just screwing with you guys. Or you would have told one of your stories like, so the other day.
I can see you all now sitting around there waiting for me to show up thinking of what the story could be and not even coming close. Not even close. I mean.
Never would have suspected Ron Jeremy.
Nope. That's why it was great.
Yeah.
If I would have thought you would have figured it out, I wouldn't have given you any time to figure it out because that would have ruined it. Because imagine if I came and I told it, right? And whether it was a good story or not, it was something you would have thought of.
Huh?
You would have been like, oh, we thought of that. You suck. I'd be like, but it was still good just because you thought of that. Now I'm the suck. It could only be something you couldn't have thought of and also not the suck.
So we'll wait for the results of that DNA test.
Right.
Yeah. And that was Geek Night with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the music, and promotional consideration was provided by no one.